Thank you to everyone for coming to join me in offering my respect, puja to Srila Prabhupada and all the pure devotees in Parampara, by whose mercy we are in a fumbling way, in a faltering way, attempting under their guidance to serve Sri Krishna Chaitanya, who is Radha Krishna Nahayana, non-different. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is non-different from Radha and Krishna. So it's very happy when many devotees come together, especially in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. The sages at Naimisharanya, they said that, well, when Parikshit and Shukdev came together, there must have been discussion of Krishna, because Shukdev was a great devotee and so was Parikshit. So when the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu come together, there's discussion of Krishna and Sankirtan. Discussion of Krishna, that's Kirtan, and Sankirtan means, generally we think of that as chanting the names of Krishna, Nama Sankirtan, the last verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, glorifies the Lord who is by the congregational chanting of whose names all sin is destroyed. So let there be plenty of kirtan. That will be there automatically. Many of you will be very tired, as most of you have come a long way. Some have come from a train from North India, even overnight train journey is tiring, what to speak of those who have come by 2 days train journey. So tiredness will be there, but especially the young brahmachari starting from about age 7 or 8. What's going on there, Jai Nityanand? You're going to translate in Sanskrit? They can go to the, there's a Hindi Anuvada. Tatra Bhavati. So yeah, there's some of the young boys came in to show, as I was saying, young brahmacharis. So while you're young, chant, dance, and be happy. There's a good opportunity. I won't be dancing. Maybe I will, but I shouldn't dance. I should and I shouldn't, because I have some minor injury in one of my feet. So, unfortunately, I won't be joining you in dancing. But I can dance in my mind, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. Narad Muni Bhajai Vina. Some, they can't dance, maybe I can dance in the mind. So on this happy occasion, when devotees come together, it should be a very happy occasion. However, I'm going to start this festival with speaking some things which are not very happy, and I apologize for that in advance, but I feel it's necessary to speak these things to my disciples. I've spoken similar things before. As you've all come centered on me, I should, most of you are my disciples, so I should make it clear about my situation. When we come to, it used to be in our movement that we devotees would come together and we talk about how we'll all serve Prabhupada's mission and we'll all just serve within ISKCON and the whole world will become Krishna conscious, and the kind of things that I'm going to say now wouldn't be said. We just have to cooperate within ISKCON and push forward the movement. But ISKCON has changed in many ways. That's inevitable in the course of time, that some kind of change will be there. In many ways, the changes, many of the things I find difficult relate to. The movement is different from the movement that I joined. Like I said, there's some change that's inevitable in the course of time. If it just remains stagnant, then that means there's no expansion. At least we want that it should expand. And definitely the movement is expanding in many ways all the time, but I can't relate to many of the changes which integral change. I mean, at the very heart of our movement, in brief, we could say that the goal of pure devotional service is not always very clearly defined or stressed, and that in many ways our idealism is compromised. That's it, in brief. So, as we've all had this experience, presumably, coming to ISKCON, come to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada, we feel great relief that I know I can dedicate my life here, and I just have to serve here, and everything is straightforward and clear. So my life has been for service to Srila Prabhupada, which naturally means within ISKCON, via ISKCON, because if we just serve within ISKCON, that means to serve Srila Prabhupada. Increasingly, I'm feeling that that's not always and exactly true. So like I said, this may not be the happiest kind of thing, but I should address this to you. We may not recommend people to go to, if someone's interested in Krishna consciousness, they've read Prabhupada's books, they're inspired by that. We may feel some caution in sending them to a temple or advising them to join some temples, not all temples, because we feel that the Srila Prabhupada's mission is not being properly executed there. For instance, you might go to a temple and see an advertisement or to a mantra rock dance, for instance. So there are many such things like that. Mantra rock dance, well, it's possibly within the scope of ISKCON, but somewhere at the side. When it becomes the only preaching program that a temple does, then there's something wrong. So like that. I'm not going to go into details, but many of you know what I'm talking about. There's the influence of Mayavad, Sahajarism, in various ways. Some devotees, they regularly speak on very high topics among devotees who really need to hear more basic topics about how we're not this body, we have to control the mind and the senses, we have to surrender to Krishna. So that's one kind of sahajarism. Another kind of what we could call soft sahajarism, which will eventually lead to worse things, is the idea that you don't really have to surrender to Krishna or try to control your senses or stop doing activities like eating kami food, watching TV. You just get some special mercy, that's all. I'm planning to give an extensive lecture on special mercy fairly soon. So this idea that you don't have to make any effort, you just get some blast of special mercy. That's a kind of soft sahajirism. Westernization in general, it should be that our movement is bringing Indian culture, not Bollywood culture, but the original, pure Vedic culture. That should be spread more and more. But instead, it seems that our movement is becoming more and more infected by Western culture. Not that we're against everything in the West or anyone in the West, but the world is being more and more dominated by a demoniac culture that promotes gross sensualism and leads people to hell. So there are many manifestations of that culture. The education system, the values, or whatever they call values, the attitudes, even the food, the whole way of life. So we should know very clearly that this grossly materialistic culture is not at all conducive for Krishna consciousness, and that we want to bring the true Vedic culture, which means Vaidaischa Sarvair Ahameva Vedaha, Krishna-centered culture, that the way of life that has been practiced in India since time immemorial, not that it's practiced exactly, not that it's practiced exactly the same way in every part of India or by every section of the population, or that it's been exactly the same throughout time, but the basic culture that is conducive for cultivating Krishna consciousness, we want to spread this, but unfortunately our movement is more and more being influenced by the modern materialistic, or what we can call Western, way of life. One prominent feature of which is feminism. It's interesting that this pandal was put up for the Stri Shakti exhibition. And we should preach to them. Anyway, Stri means Shakti. Stri is Shakti. So you don't have to artificially promote that. They have their own way of manifesting that Shakti. Shakti is in relation to Shaktiman. So they don't understand all these points. So we're all for Stri Shakti. We're Gauriya Vaishnavas especially. We're 100% behind Stri Shakti. But that means Radha Krishna. Radha is the Shakti. So that is the proper understanding. And then when you turn it upside down, the perverse reflection in the material world, and then you get the feminist. It's a mess. Materialism is not, of course, restricted only to the Western world. There's also Hindu materialism, so we're not meant for that either. It's when we say Vedic culture, we're not talking about this Karma Mimamsa or Mayavad. We don't want that. So all this yajnas for material benefit, and of course there is some place, it is within Vedic culture, there is some place for that, but again it shouldn't become the center of our movement, are very prominent within our movement. All this kind of thing. Westernization, I already said that. Mantra rock dance fashion shows. What is this fashion show? Actually every day in our centers we have fashion shows when we're dressing Radha and Krishna. That's the best fashion show. But to dress up some stool body in imitation of Radha, that is an insult to Radha and to all our acharyas. Srila Prabhupada didn't come from the spiritual world to organize fashion shows of young teenage stool bodies, female bodies. So that should not be ISKCON. I mean, some things have got some place, but other things have no place. They should never be in our movement. Kirtan. Now, how can we possibly have any complaint against kirtan? Well, we don't have it, of course. We want to promote kirtan, but kirtan should be kirtan. Kirtan means kirtaniya sada harihi, praising Hari. It shouldn't be an arena to show off muscles and tattoos and young girls dancing only for the pleasure of Krishna, we hope. Maybe not. And kirtan, someone's considered a good kirtaniya if he or she sings in a very pleasing style for my ears, not for Krishna's ears. And of course, a real kirtaniya has to have a certain kind of beard and hairstyle. That's mandatory also. If you don't have big muscles, at least you have to have a beard. Social welfare work emphasized as if it's our movement. We believe that the best way to serve Lord is to feed a hungry child is the best way to serve Lord Krishna. This should never, such a statement should never be associated with Srila Prabhupada's movement. But such statements are commonly made, build the nation and so on. I've spoken about this in some detail elsewhere. Mundane academics, of course, again, there is some scope for this. But when it becomes prominent, or when it becomes considered in and of itself something desirable, for a devotee is considered better if they have a PhD, then again, we're off balance. Hinduization, where we announce ourselves to be Hindus. Yeah, I've spoken about this also. I don't want to be a Hindu. If I'm a Hindu, then I can't serve Krishna properly. We can serve Krishna properly on the platform of Sarvopadivinirmuktam, when we're free from such mundane designations. Neglect of Srila Prabhupada's order to establish Varnashram. Sectarianism. Overall compromise. How about this? Dressing Radha Krishna as Santa Claus on Christmas Day. And so on. So I won't go on. I won't speak more about that in detail. I've done so previously. Demigod worship within our temples and so on. And you can probably think of some other things. And if you can't think of it, well, don't worry, there's more coming. You haven't thought of it, but someone will think of some other things. Because once you get out into the world of compromise and speculation, then Hoya Mayar Das Karinana Obhilash. Once we get into Maya, then there are all kinds of different desires which are attempted to be fulfilled in all kinds of ways. So, of course, we cannot demand utopia. There will always be problems. But the level of compromise is now not something minor that we have to deal with, some what we used to call fringes, those who are on the fringe. The fringe has now become the center. The compromise has now become mainstream. Of course, you can say, this is my opinion. Well, that's up to you. There is a culture clash, not only in ISKCON, in the Western world, between those who want to follow traditional values and those who don't. It's in India also. It's also in India, as we see by the differing responses to the recent overhyped gang rape case in Delhi. Some more traditional people publicly said that, well, women shouldn't be wandering around at midnight anyway, for which the mainstream press rubbished them, but we agree with that. In fact, what's anyone doing out at midnight? Should be sleeping at that time. Why, what is this nightlife, going to nightclubs, getting drunk at midnight? This is Rakshasa life. So there's a clash of cultures inside and outside of ISKCON. Within our own society, there are those who think that if we're too, what they consider to be extreme, then people won't accept us. There's a lot of propaganda against extremism and terrorism, so they're often seen to be the same thing. So we don't appear to be too extreme. Some devotees think like this, and we have to blend in with the modern way of life. But at least my disciples, I'd like you to understand what is my position. That my position is that, well, Krishna consciousness, it is extreme anyway. Krishna says, Mam ekam sharanam vraja, sarvadhaman parityaja. So it's an extreme position. Kick out everything and just surrender to me. It's an extreme position. We can't. This idea that, well, everything's okay, everything's nice, that's not exactly what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. He says, he gives scope for karma, jnana, and yoga. He discusses these things, but in the end he says, actually, this is all nonsense. You should just surrender to me. So, that we're also doing. And yeah, Shastra is what would be seen to be extreme. We say, on the basis of Shastra, that everyone is man who's not a devotee of Krishna. Nunang pramatak kurute vikarma yad indriya pritiya aprinoti na sadhu manye yata atmanoyam asanna pi klesha da asadeha. This verse from Bhagavatam by Rishabhdev describes, in a nutshell, Hastamalaka in Sanskrit, the position of modern society and why it is crazy. The position of modern society is that everyone is mad to the extreme. Why? Because they are simply interested in sense gratification. And they're prepared to do all kinds of sinful activities. They don't even consider what is sin, what is not sin. That when the goal of life is sense gratification, grossly, then what is sin, what is not sin? No one, the word sin becomes eradicated from the vocabulary. I discussed this verse yesterday. So this is modern civilization. And why is it insane? Because people do not consider that they will have to get reactions for this. They'll have to get born again and die again, again and again and again. So our movement is supposed to point this out to people and say that, well, it's not that your way of life is something desirable that we want to adopt, but rather we want to point out that your whole so-called civilization is a disaster and you are wrong. Not wrong just in the, like in the case of 2 plus 2 equals 5, that you've also got wrong. But you are wrong means badly intentioned, wicked, demoniac civilization. So I wish to point this out. So this seems extreme. Well, from the perspective of insane people, materialistic people, it is extreme. But that is the message that we have to convey to others. We have to point this out. I've discussed this elaborately in that book on strong speaking in Srila Prabhupada's service. Those of you who can read English and don't have that yet, please be sure to get a copy of that. I've said I've discussed, but practically it's Srila Prabhupada's message and his approach, which I've elaborated on. So, as you are my disciple, those of you, most of you here are my disciples, I wish you to understand that. If you don't like it, well, you're welcome to go to the fashion show, and the mantra rock dance and everything else. I can't force you to accept that. But please try to understand my position, because it will make life difficult for you within the modern ISKCON. If you say that, well, we don't agree with all this feeding the poor to build the nation, then you might be called offensive, because so many big gurus and are promoting this, and it's having wonderful results because so many people like us. So you have to understand my position in order to stick with it, and it will be difficult, no doubt. I'm making life difficult for you. If I was to say that this is all wonderful, or just not even address these points at all, then life would be much easier for all of you. But I'm not going to apologize, because we have to serve the mission of Srila Prabhupada, Guru, Sadhu, Shastra. I'm not saying I have a monopoly on understanding that, or that my understanding is necessarily correct in all respects, but as I understand Srila Prabhupada's mission from his teachings and from what it was then when I joined and what it is now, I can understand that what it was then when Srila Prabhupada is personally present is not what it is now in many respects, and that in many respects it should not be what it is. So I'm addressing this to all of you as you're my disciples, and it is my duty to direct you to what is beneficial for your spiritual advancement. We're not here as a semi-spiritual social club in which we all smile at each other, like the Rotary Club or the Lions Club. We all just praise each other. Praise of Vaishnava should be there, but on the basis of their Vaishnavata or Vaishnavism. So, where's my next point? Where is my next prayer? Yeah. Yeah, so I'm asking you to take that difficulty and to live by it and to understand it. And if, well, it's not a question of if, you will come in contact with all kinds of things. If you go to different temples of ISKCON. So, please try to understand what I am saying and why it is right. I'm saying it's right. And if anyone wants to discuss, then we can discuss on the basis of Srila Prabhupada's teachings. If it wasn't right, then I shouldn't speak it to you. If I wasn't sure, then I shouldn't speak it to you. To take the role of guru is to say that I'm right. Not that I am intrinsically right, but I am convinced that what I have heard from my guru is correct, all on the basis of the previous acharyas, the shastra, and this is why it's right. So I, taking the role of guru means that I have to say, this is right and you should follow. And disciple means you accept, yes, this is right and I should follow. So that may clash with others who are also taking the role of guru in ISKCON, which actually there should be no such clash. Because the truth is one. So you have to see what's what. Is it representing Prabhupada to say that we believe that to feed a hungry child is the best way to serve Lord Krishna, or isn't it? So you study on the basis of Prabhupada's teachings. Is this what we should be doing? For instance, that's just one example. So you have to make your own decision and see that. So you have to uphold it. People will say that. And then you may have to say that, you know, we don't want to go to that program, because you may be polite in avoiding it also, but it's not that you have to get in a fight with everyone at every moment. But you may say, I don't want to hear so-and-so's lecture, because last time I heard his lecture, he was talking about the intimate pastimes of Radharani. You told me that incident in Vrindavan. This is not what Prabhupada, this is what, not how Prabhupada taught us. It's not suitable to speak on these things as if we're all so advanced when we're not. So people may say you're offensive, so you have to be ready for that. And it's a difficult time, a difficult position. Devotees say that I'm very strict and conservative, but my understanding is that, well, that's what we're supposed to. If we understand what is Krishna consciousness and how we have to surrender to Krishna, we have to utilize this rare human birth for practicing Krishna consciousness, then why should we be anything but fully committed to do so? Of course, there may be various devotees who are not so committed, but at least those who are going to be the leaders, they should lead from the platform and try to inculcate that in others of serious commitment. Being guru is not just a matter of smiling at people. Of course, smiling is there, but the aim should be to inculcate, impress on others the seriousness of how we have to surrender to Krishna. We have to dedicate ourselves mind, body, and words. So if I'm thought to be very strict, then again, that seems to be indicative that the movement's gone off center because it's meant to be a strict movement. We're not like I shouldn't have to say, as I often do, don't eat meat. Sorry, I don't. Don't eat food cooked by non-devotees. Don't watch TV. There should be no need to repeatedly say this. But as it's become mainstream within our society to do so, considered acceptable or normal, therefore I have to do so. Although there was no question of that when Prabhupada was present. It wasn't something that has... Recently one godbrother, he asked me, what's your family background? And he was convinced, or he had a very strong hunch, that I must be from an army background. Whereas actually, no, I was not from an army. My father was a teacher, and in retrospect, I could say he was liberal in the sense that he deliberately didn't try to push any values on me. He wouldn't tell me. I asked him on the election day, who are you going to vote for? He wouldn't tell me. With the idea, you have to decide for yourself later on. I still don't know. Of course, not very interesting who he voted for. But if what others call conservatism, I got it from Prabhupada, that's all. I read Srila Prabhupada's books. And it struck me that, well, this is it. We have to do it fully. Why do anything else? Why not take it fully seriously? And so that what is called conservativeness, it's not also from living in India, because not all the devotees who come, Western devotees who come to India, become very, what they call conservative. And many modern Indians, they're, look at this feminism mela. The especially the English press in India is promoting Western values. There's most modern Indians, they lost their culture to such a large extent that they don't really know much about it. You Chittahari some years ago, that glimpses of traditional Indian life. You read the book. He's from a Iyer family, which means a South Indian, Tamil, Brahmin family. He told me that everything in the book, it was all new to him. He didn't know anything about it. So modern Indians, what do they know? They lost this whole very deep philosophical culture. No one, they lost that whole culture of atato brahma jignasa. Of course, not everyone was doing that, but at least the Brahmins, they were supposed to be trained in some philosophical understanding. Like if you're a Sri Vaishnav Brahmin especially, you're supposed to know what is Ramanuja's Siddhanta. You just can't put some pundram, and you have to know it. The thread means that you're trained. You get the thread at the age of 5 or whatever. Then after that you're trained in the Vedas, and then afterward in Siddhanta, first in the Vedas. But they lost that. Yesterday at Anantapadmanabha temple I was asking about the, because in the list of Divyadeshans it gives the name of the Taya or the Lakshmi form. And I was asking, no one knew anything, and they knew, no one knew anything, not interested. I'm talking about the priests and the Brahmins. They have no idea. For them, it's just, it's a non-question. It's like me asking you about what is the differential of the 14th axis of the lower node of the moon. What does it mean? You don't know. I don't know either. But it's just like a meaningless question. It's just, they don't know what you're talking about. They lost their culture so much. And in India there's abortion, contraception, pushed by the government. Feminism, pushed by the government. So what you might call this conservativeness, it can't be ascribed to living in India. I ascribe it to Srila Prabhupada. Blame him. Don't blame him. So, my position nowadays in ISKCON is somewhat uncomfortable. I'm, as a leader, a sannyasi, I'm expected to be a representative of everything the movement stands for, but I don't want to represent much of what the movement has come to mean. Many devotees think that it's gone so far that it's almost impossible to get right back on the right track. If we see our GBC members, at least they seem to think that everything's great and we're on the right track. I'm very sorry to say, I'm sincerely saying this, and I'm sorry to say that I disagree with that. I think that we're, although in many ways many good things are going on, the level of adjustment or compromise is such that it is seriously wrong. So you may say, well, why do I stay in this movement? Well, one reason is because Srila Prabhupada said to stay and try to rectify it. Although if it's rectifiable or not, on the global scale, I don't know. But at least in pockets, we can try to do the right thing. And that is going on. It's some centers are going on with the ideal. It's with the old-fashioned style, not the new-fashioned. Old ISKCON still lives. So at least in pockets we're able to do something. Many God-brothers who I discuss these things with, they also urge me to stay. Although in many ways it would be easy just to cut out. And also because I do have disciples, and it would make them make it very difficult for them also if I was just to cut out. So, yeah, that's my position, which I am sharing with you. I have to think how best to serve Srila Prabhupada for the rest of this life. Like I said, it used to be that you just be in ISKCON and just go along with everything and that's it. You don't really have to think about much, but things have changed. Is ISKCON the best medium for serving Srila Prabhupada? It's a valid question. I can't think of anywhere else to go. Of course, I could just start my own little movement, but I don't plan to do that. I don't think that's the best thing to do. Others may be doing that. That will come, for sure. There are devotees who want to follow Prabhupada's mission, who don't want to join the Gauriya Math or the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya or the Madhva Sampradaya, who are not Ritvik Vadis, but who they're not going to wait for the rest of their life in the unlikely hope that our movement will come back to what it should be. So there are some devotees who want to try and start something afresh. So good luck to them. Krishna's blessings be with them. Anyway, we have to go on with our duty of serving as best we can. Ultimately, truth will prevail. In Kali Yuga, generally the falsity prevails. But the powerful mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the powerful Sankirtan movement, ultimately that will prevail, but at the present time it seems something like Sita's been kidnapped and we don't know where she is. Everything seems black. In the end, everything came out okay. Or the Pandavas, they're in the forest. Why? Why should that happen? Yudhishthira was such a good king, great devotee of Krishna. Bhim, Arjun, Nakul, Sahadev, they're all great devotees. They never did anything wrong in their life. Still, they had to go through all this with Krishna present personally in the world. Ultimately, everything came out okay. So, whatever happens, we should go on practicing Krishna consciousness very sincerely, following Srila Prabhupada's instructions. We will not be the loser. We can never be the loser by doing that. That the whole movement may not be, that we're not able to participate in a movement that is fully dedicated to spreading pure devotional service. That is an unfortunate situation that we find ourselves in. Even we may be fully, sincerely trying our best to preach Krishna consciousness, trying to cooperate with the ISKCON authorities, but the ISKCON authorities themselves are doing their best to stop us. And that is not an unusual scenario. They don't like it, because they have some other agenda. So we have to do the best we can under the circumstances. That's all I can say. Krishna consciousness is always hopeful and joyful. We have to associate with devotees of like mind. We also shouldn't think that we can work it all out and sort everything out by our own intelligence. Krishna has his plans, just like he had for the Pandavas. Not that we're the Pandavas, but we follow their example of depending on Krishna. I know all this will be difficult for you to hear. Some of you might not even be aware of all these things, all these difficulties. Or some of you, many of you may have joined and just think it's normal because you don't know what things should be. And definitely, as I said, there are many good things. I'm not saying that everything's all wrong and ISKCON's all bad. Especially that Srila Prabhupada's books are being distributed. Wherever there's the distribution of Srila Prabhupada's books, that is very hopeful. As Srila Prabhupada said, I've widely heard that it was said that Srila Prabhupada said that even if everyone from our movement bloops, which means to leave, that because the books are distributed, more will come. And we know many cases of people who have taken up Krishna consciousness just by reading Srila Prabhupada's books. They become convinced, I have to do this. So that's always hopeful, that the books are going out, and that Srila Prabhupada's books are being distributed more and more. That's always the good sign. And studying Prabhupada's books. Srila Prabhupada mercifully gave us so many books, and he stressed the importance of them so that we can know what is the standard. What is what? Anya bhilashita shunya jnana kamadhyana vritam anukulyena krishna anushilanam bhakti ruttama We are meant for this, for cultivating Krishna consciousness without any personal desire, either for gross sensual enjoyment or on the subtle platform, either for enjoyment in this world or for liberation from it. This is the pulse that reverberates throughout every line of Srila Prabhupada's books. So we should not become overwhelmed by lamentation. Shochati iti shudra, shudra's lament. And those who are servants of the parampara, they try to do something to rectify this situation. All the monkeys at the edge of the ocean, they wanted to fast to death. We couldn't do it. But it was Hanuman who told them, what are you lamenting like this for? Angad, you're supposed to be a prince, kshatriya monkey. So you should. Utishta, get up, don't be overcome by lamentation. So we should go on doing the right thing, the best thing, as best we can. We practice and promote and preach pure devotional service. Pure devotional service, from that doesn't mean artificially pretending that we're on a higher level, but pure devotional service in the sense of complete dedication. And these programs, Varnashram projects, Gurukul projects, Srila Prabhupada wanted. And let's push this on, despite all difficulty. We're not saying it's easy. We have to ourselves really endeavor to be pure devotees and not be materialistic or egoistic. It's a great challenge, but we have to pursue that ideal always. We may disagree with some devotees in our movement, but we should still appreciate and offer respect to all devotees who are trying to practice and preach Krishna consciousness in this very difficult and confusing age. The progress of Kali Yuga is increasing all the time. The world is becoming worse and worse and worse in so many ways. So anyone who's trying to be Krishna conscious or trying to promote Krishna consciousness, we should appreciate that, notwithstanding our differences, that they are trying to be Krishna conscious. That is glorious. Even if we have very great differences with other devotees, well, with devotees, we shouldn't think I'm a devotee, then we must respect them as devotees. I personally do have, and probably in future also will have, marked differences in outlook on how Krishna consciousness should be practiced, marked differences with some other devotees within this movement. But we shouldn't have any personal bad feelings or any such things. The difference is, it's not on the platform of petty dislike, but it's over practice and philosophy of Krishna consciousness, these are matters which we can expect there will be very marked differences, heated differences. For instance, one of my godbrothers in one posting said that he wrote that Srila Prabhupada's take on homosexuality was wrong, and I'm sure if Srila Prabhupada was present now, I could convince him. So I don't like that statement at all. The attitude, and it's, I don't like it. Not particularly over the issue of homosexuality, but the attitude that, yeah, I could correct Prabhupada. He got it wrong. So this kind of attitude, but even that, even though I don't want to keep close association with that devotee, I don't want to say he's a demon or reject him. He's lifelong practice of Krishna consciousness. So some things, well, that's an extreme example, but it is also very annoying to use a relatively mild term that. Anyway, there are so many things. Having yoga classes in front of the deities, and having ISKCON organized fashion shows. Of course, that's not common yet. But these things, it should disturb our mind. So how to reconcile this? That we should know what is the proper path to follow. And not just change everything, water everything down, make our movement into a Vaishnava edition of the Ramakrishna mission, where jato mot toto pot, everything's okay, and social welfare is our main activity. So these things are very, very annoying, and they are worth fighting for. But at the same time, we have to maintain respect for all devotees. So, okay, that's what I wanted to say about this. I have spoken on these issues in detail, and there's no need to go into it more. And so that's it. I just needed to say that to you. That personally I feel myself to be in a very difficult position, because I'm within a movement which I don't fully relate to. At the same time, I don't want to leave it. So I thought I should let you know that, as I'm plunging you all into a similar difficult situation. Hare Krishna. Any questions, please? Yeah. Do we have a spare mic? And we needn't go on with the whole festival like this, just this meeting, and then we'll talk other things on other days.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna Guru. Srila Prabhupada sometimes pointed out or criticized his god brothers. And then he would instruct his disciples that they should do in the same way. So what is our position as disciples? Because you are pointing out, you are sometimes criticizing some things in this one. What is our
position? Srila Prabhupada's criticism of his godbrothers is somewhat... Srila Prabhupada's criticism of his godbrothers is somewhat different from the kind of criticisms I'm making. Because philosophically, Srila Prabhupada didn't have any difference. Well, except with the Ananta Vasudev camp. He didn't even tell us all these things. He didn't get into that much. But his complaint was that his main complaint was that they didn't, I guess we could say there are two. One is that they didn't follow the order of their guru to cooperate. They split up. They, instead of making a GBC to manage all the society, although apparently that some GBC was made, but then they put the acharya above that, and then all the mess came out of that. And another thing was that they didn't recognize or support Srila Prabhupada's preaching efforts. But philosophically, he didn't say that they were philosophically deviated. Or in terms of practicing Krishna consciousness also, in terms of philosophy and practice, he didn't have any complaint. It was that they weren't preaching enough. God, preaching was at some level, but not in the expansive way that Srila Prabhupada did. So those are Prabhupada's main criticisms against his godbrothers. My criticisms are a little different, because I'm saying that certain of my godbrothers and others also are changing the whole outlook and understanding of our movement. So at a subtle level, it's something philosophical. And so, yeah, so it's a different kind of criticism. So you should understand philosophically. And you're welcome to question me also. It's not that I'm saying you have to accept what I say because I say it. But you should try to understand also. And apart from that, that Srila Prabhupada also, it was self-interest. He pointed that out, self-interest, because of self-interest. Everyone's making their own little mutt separately. Being interested in, he especially criticized one godbrother's being interested in the properties, and being in charge of the properties. And the name and fame of being the acharya, being in charge of so many properties. So that's there also within our movement, that who's in charge, they take control, and then this kind of thing. So that you can experience in your own life within this movement. How I've discussed this in some detail also, how people who are interested in name, fame, position, facility, they tend to become the leaders, because that's what you get. And those who have that kind of mentality. So it's almost to be expected. So it is somewhat different. But you should understand. That's why my whole point here is that please try to understand what is my position. Don't blindly follow it. Try to understand it, so that you can be protected. Otherwise, you get things like that. So-and-so Swami does this, so we shouldn't say anything against it. That's an offense against so-and-so Swami. But then what does Prabhupada say? If so-and-so Swami says something, but let's see what Srila Prabhupada says. And if so-and-so Swami is not in line with Prabhupada, then we should follow Srila Prabhupada. And not say that we're making an... If we don't follow what so-and-so Swami says, then it's offense to so-and-so Swami. Well, maybe it is, but I'd rather offend so-and-so Swami than deviate from what Prabhupada said. So, that you should see. And philosophically, you should be able to point out things with it. You may not name names, Although if you don't name names, people often don't understand what you're talking about. They think they just take it to be some kind of vague philosophical trip that you're on. Naming names makes everything clear, but then immediately, because the devotees are just trained in sentimentalism and idol worship, then they're not, they don't have a philosophical basis, then immediately they can't understand, they can't hear any philosophy. Ah, you spoke against so-and-so. You're not against anyone, but there are certain things which should be done and certain things that shouldn't be done, and this should be understood philosophically. So you should know what is for your ultimate benefit and what is not. Simply to follow blindly is not for our ultimate benefit.